Welcome to Heard It Here First.
Heard It Here.
I'm Rafi with Malachi the Great.
That's right, baby.
And we have fresh new material where we're going to be talking about everything that's already happened, give you that fresh perspective on it. The NBA draft, free agency. Malachi's come back now. He's boned up on his CBA, so he's gonna give us some flavor. Yeah, he's working on his game. All right, Malachi, take it away. We're gonna start talking about the draft and transactions. So we're supposed to be working with the Eastern Conference first, so go ahead and lead it off.
So the first pick, or the first trade we have of draft night that went through, was Bol Bol being traded from the Miami Heat. It was the 44th pick for a 2022 second round pick, and they get the lower of the Denver or 76er pick, and it's a pick swap for Minnesota and $1.2 million in cash. I would just say that this is a trade. I don't think they even wanted Bol Bol. I think they just picked him so they could get something because he was just there.
Bol Bol just being there, you mean?
Yeah, because he's like, Bol Bol was supposed to be a first-round pick going into the draft. Well, before the injury, he was supposed to be top five. Going into the draft, he was supposed to be right outside of the lottery in the, probably the 20s. So when Bol Bol dropped to the 40s, everybody was kind of like, who's going to pick him next? And I feel like the Miami Heat picked him because they knew that he probably had the most value if they flipped him.
Oh, okay. Okay, you don't
they had
think
picked
that
Iggy Brazdeikis, you know. You couldn't flip him for as much. You probably couldn't have gotten $1.2 million in a second-round pick out of that from 2022, even though 2022 is a long ways away.
Do you think that he was already so this is Bol Bol to the Nuggets. Do you think that the Nuggets had already worked it out since you only get 2 minutes a pick and they said pick Bol Bol?
I don't know, because the thing is, the Nuggets didn't have any draft picks at all in this draft. And okay, the number one that player they wanted on their draft board going into the draft was Bol Bol.
Okay.
So they may have pre-organized this trade, or somebody – they might have – I don't know if they knew he was going to drop that low, but
– He was their number one – he was the number one guy on their board?
Yeah, for the picks that they could get, because they didn't have any. So that was the guy they wanted.
Wow. So did they say where they had him rated, like, normally? Was he a top five pick, or?
I don't know. They just said that he, when they got to him, that was the number one guy they wanted to get with what they had.
Gotcha. So when you look at the team, I look at Spot Track, and I look and see that Bol Bol has joined their team. What do you think about the new look Denver Nuggets with their Michael Porter Jr. and all these other guys on the team?
Well, I can't say anything about their new team yet, because first of all, who knows when Bol Bol will play? He'll probably be a G League guy for probably the next. I'm gonna say he'll probably be a G League dude for the next 2-3 years because of Jokic being on the team.
Okay.
And they already have what's the other center they got? Hernan Gomez. They have Daryl Arthur. Don't they still have Daryl Arthur?
Well, I'm looking at Mason Plumlee, Hernan Gomez. Yeah.
That's the guy to have, Plumlee. So he won't probably play for 2-3 years. And okay, Michael Porter Jr., if he plays and he's all right and his back is good, I assume he'll probably take the starting spot from Will Barton. And if you run a lineup of Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Michael Porter Jr., Paul Millsap, and Nikola Jokic, that sounds like first to second seed potential to me.
Okay.
That sounds like a good 55 wins.
Okay, okay.
If Michael Porter Jr. is everything they say he is, because he's supposed to be the next Kevin Durant, a 6'10", lanky shooting guy.
Well, he can't even get on the floor in summer league, so he sounds like a bum to me.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. He sprained his knee. I guess they're trying to be protective of him, but that doesn't, you know.
Yeah, it sounds like he could be like injury prone big time. So All right, so we move on from Denver and the Bobo pick. Who's up next?
We got the Golden State Warriors acquired the 2019 second round pick. Who knows how to say that? I'm not even going to try it. His name is Allen. I gave you the first part. I'm not going to try to give you the last part. And New Orleans got a 2022 second, a 2023 second in cash considerations, which was an undisclosed amount. I'm going to say probably that this is a very a trade that doesn't make any sense. Well, it makes sense, but not really. It's just one of those trades to make because he made it.
So what do you think the motivation of Golden State? Is this a draft and stash dude overseas?
No, he's going to be in the G League.
Oh.
So this guy apparently is the youngest player to ever play in the G League at 18. He's born August 18, 2000. So
wow.
He's
18.
He's turning 19.
Wow.
He's a very fresh young dude from Serbia. He's a 6'9". I mean, I don't know. I've never seen half these dudes. There's not even film on most of these players. So it's like.
So there's nothing on.
He did play it. So he played in the G League this past season. He was 18 years old. So he's going to go up to the main roster.
So he was just a free agent on the G League teams?
Yeah, he's one of the players that got drafted from the G League into the NBA. Like PJ Heron.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So is he going, I guess, will he be on a two-way deal or what is he?
Who knows what he'll be on? I'm assuming he'll be on he's a late second. I'm going to assume he might be on a rookie scale.
Okay.
Regular second round rookie scale contract.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
But, you know, it's on a 2-year deal, but it's like, I don't know who this is. Right. He might be a good player, but I might just be ignorant, but I don't know who this is.
Okay.
I don't know who this is.
All right. So what's the next one then? Since we don't know this dude, who's the next guy?
We got the New York Knicks getting Iggy Brazdeikis from Sacramento for $1 million and Kyle Guy.
Kyle Guy, isn't he from Virginia?
Virginia. Yeah, he the one that got married.
Oh, right. So pick 55
was Kyle Guy.
And $1 million.
Brazdeikis.
Huh. I guess that's not a bad deal to give to move up 8 slots. You give up $1 million and the draft pick. I mean, I think Brazdeikis is good. A draft and stash dude overseas?
No, he's going to be in the G League.
Oh.
So this guy apparently is the youngest player to ever play in the G League at 18. He's born August 18, 2000. So
wow.
He's
18.
He's turning 19.
Wow.
He's a very fresh young dude from Serbia. He's a 6'9". I mean, I don't know. I've never seen half these dudes. There's not even film on most of these players. So it's like.
So there's nothing on.
He did play it. So he played in the G League this past season. He was 18 years old. So he's going to go up to the main roster.
So he was just a free agent on the G League teams?
Yeah, he's one of the players that got drafted from the G League into the NBA. Like PJ Heron.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. So is he going, I guess, will he be on a two-way deal or what is he?
Who knows what he'll be on? I'm assuming he'll be on he's a late second. I'm going to assume he might be on a rookie scale.
Okay.
Regular second round rookie scale contract.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
But, you know, it's on a 2-year deal, but it's like, I don't know who this is.
Right.
He might be a good player, but I might just be ignorant, but I don't know who this is.
Okay.
I don't know who this is.
All right. So what's the next one then? Since we don't know this dude, who's the next guy?
We got the New York Knicks getting Iggy Brazdeikis from Sacramento for $1 million and Kyle Guy.
Kyle Guy, isn't he from Virginia?
Virginia. Yeah, he the one that got married.
Oh, right. So pick 55
was Kyle Guy.
And $1 million. Rod Dickens. Huh. I guess that's not a bad deal to give to move up 8 slots. You give up $1 million and the draft pick. I mean, I think Bryce Dakis is good.
I just don't know because Kyle Guy is like not a point guard, but not a shooting guard. He's just not. Because the thing is, he's a shooting guard, right? That's what they list him at.
Right.
But he's 6'1" and like 170 pounds. So it's like
Bob Cousy at the two.
So it's like, what shooting guard has ever been 6'1", 170 pounds? There's never been one. Even Jimmer was bigger than that.
Right. Well,
I can't think of.
I think it might have been a bad move for the Kings because Bryce Dacus, I think, went for 30 plus in the summer league game, didn't he?
Oh my God! And now looking in the summer league, the fact that Iggy Bryce Dacus was. He looked like a really, really good player. Like, people just didn't realize it because he was on the Knicks team. Uh-huh. But, and they had Mitchell Robinson and Kevin Knox being doing things that I ain't never seen them do. They shouldn't even be out there to begin with. But Iggy Brazdeikis is like, he just looked like he, I don't mean to say this because he's white. He looked like Kyle Korver. He was just catching the ball, going behind screens, and just shooting.
Oh, he was hitting it. He wasn't putting it on the floor?
He was sometimes he was going to the basket, but what they mostly did is they would run what I like to call JJ Redick's, which is a little off-ball screen, and he'd run around to the three-point line, catch and shoot. Or they'd set a pick for him at the top, and he would go behind the screen to shoot like a Trae Young.
But that's pretty amazing. He's like 6'7", right? I'm 6'7" and still growing.
Yeah. So I was like, I didn't see that at Michigan. I didn't see any of this stuff at Michigan.
He could shoot it at Michigan.
He could shoot, but he wasn't catching it off screens and going behind people and shooting. He wasn't doing that.
No, that wasn't his game at all. How do you think he's going to mix with the, RJ? The Knicks and you know, putting that lineup out there on the floor every night. They're going to get a strong 25 wins out of that lineup.
I don't know, because the thing about the Knicks is they're so disorganized. It's just like they have so many players just come in and start, and then they won't start for the next 3 games, and then they'll start 2 more, and then they'll bench them again.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense with the Knicks because they are so – you saw in free agency how they're just like a super disorganized, not completely together organization. Right. And so – with Iggy Brazdeikis, who knows? He might start. There's a high chance he could start 70 games. There's a chance he could start 20. It's just like, depends on how the coaching feels. Because if he's a small forward, they might move Kevin Knox, and they might not. So who knows what they'll do?
I'm looking at the Knicks. They got a bunch of players that are playing for contracts. Nobody is signed past 2023, and that's RJ Barrett. And they got Knox, they got Randall, Mitchell Robinson, and Iggy Brazdeikis are up in 22. Everybody else is 21 and 20. So they don't have a team. They got a bunch of talent that is looking for their next deal. Guys is on 1 and 2 year deals, man. They not, you know, it's nothing consistent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Marcus Morris is on a 1-15, so he ain't, you know, he's looking for his next team as he's playing for his current team.
Yeah.
So, all right, what's next? We got Golden State. They acquired $2 million for Mie Oni.
He's the kid from Yale. He's the shooting guard. I remember him. He was pretty pretty good. He was the Ivy League player of the year.
Wasn't he supposed to go in the high second round, late first?
I don't think so. I just remember him being at the end of the second round. That's where I saw him. But he went to Yale. I saw him. I thought he would be pretty good. You know, he plays with a little bit of power as a shooter. He's kind of big. He probably shouldn't have gone there. I think he was a little bit. I mean, I don't know. Because it was – when he was in high school, in the early days, he didn't get recruited very much.
Okay.
But then as he got older, he got a lot better. And so I think they nominated him for the McDonald's All-American. And he didn't get chosen, but he still went to Yale because they were the only school that recruited him.
Oh.
Before he left. So it was either that or he goes D3. And, like, nobody wants to play D3.
Right. You're not really coming out of there.
So that's what happened with him. I think he's a pretty decent player. NBADraft.net says he's a Kirk Snyder.
Kirk Snyder.
I haven't heard that name.
Kirk Snyder. I don't even know who that is.
I don't remember
Kirk Heinrich, but not Kirk Snyder.
I don't remember Kirk Snyder. But anyway, we'll just move on because I don't think this really affects the Jazz unless he turns. I'll say this all the time, and it probably will turn into a great player, but who cares? Next, we have Philadelphia 76ers getting $2 million in cash, and the Washington Wizards taking Jonathan Simmons in a 42nd pick, which they used to select Admiral Schofield. So this makes sense for the Sixers because they had too many draft picks going into it, and they would have had too many contracts. So they had, like, they had all kinds. They had Celtics picks. They had pick on top of pick. So I was like, they're going to have to trade at least three of these, if not more.
Uh-huh.
But I do commend the Wizards for getting Admiral Schofield because they did need a three after losing Trevor Ariza. Maybe they didn't knew he was leaving. Maybe they didn't. But I knew that Schofield would be a decent player because he played pretty well at Tennessee. He's older. Yeah, you know what you're getting out of him.
Right. He's a good player, man.
And you know what you're getting because it's like he's 20. How old is Schofield? 22? He a junior?
Yeah.
So, I expected him to do. Now, here's what didn't make sense is taking on Jonathan Simmons' $6 million contract.
So Jonathan Simmons, it appears, I'm looking him up right now. It appears
he got released.
Yeah, but it looked like he only had a $1 million guarantee.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Well, no, because I thought I checked the dead cap, and it said it showed up as $6 million.
It's $1 million. $1 million here, dead cap.
Oh, well, his deal's a lot better than I thought.
Yeah.
I thought they took on a $6 million guarantee and waived it.
It looks like it might have been a $6 million contract had he played it. But
I see the dead cap.
So it's only $1 million that they had to pay in dead cap. So it looks like it was partially guaranteed, which is fine. So basically, you ended up with Schofield, and you paid $1 million. So Schofield, you pay $1 million.
$3 million to get Schofield.
Yeah, that's not so bad. I think Schofield is a really good – he could turn into a really good rotational player. And for $3 million, to me, that's not bad at all, man. I would have made that deal 10 times out of 10.
Yeah.
Schofield's probably going to be on a big roster. You know, Washington doesn't really have a whole lot going for itself. They got to pay for those times when the Ernie show was here, and he just blew it all out of proportion. He didn't get great players, but they weren't bad. Now they got a really good player, not a great player in Bradley Beal, but then their other superstar went down, so they're kind of in this zone where they're not really bad and they're not really any good. They're just kind of a 30
with the current 35. Team, I'd say a 27 win team.
Yeah, that might be a little generous. That would be all Bradley trying to get him there.
Because I'd say when a starting lineup, let's say Isaiah Thomas, Bradley Beal, assuming Hachimura plays the three. Mm. I don't know if he'll play four because what's his name is the four. What's his name?
Bertans? I can't remember.
Yeah, Bertans. Because there's no way that they'll start. There's absolutely no way they'll start CJ Miles or Troy Brown. I refuse to believe that.
I think CJ Miles is going to be your starter at the three.
I feel like they're going to do a Hachimura Bertans thing with Thomas Bryant at the center.
I think Hachimura will be your starting four, man.
No, Hachimura is a defensive nightmare on at the three and at the four too. He just can't guard anymore.
He can probably guard the four better than the three. He has no chance at the three. None.
He couldn't even guard fours in summer league though. That's the thing.
Well,
that's his concern.
It's gonna be a little different once you get team defense involved. But he can't guard threes. He'll foul out in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I saw him try to guard, what's his name, at Gonzaga, RJ Barrett and Zion in the same game. And they was just blowing right by him.
Yeah.
Getting and once.
Yeah, he gonna be on them. He'll get three fouls in the first 3 minutes, man. But no, they got Ish Smith or Isaiah Thomas can't start for you.
Unless he goes back to being somewhat of old Isaiah Thomas, he can start.
I don't think he has that type of juice in his legs.
If he can just be at least one third of how good old Thomas was, then he'll be okay, I believe.
I don't think he's got that type of juice in his legs. I just don't. I think his hip is not what it used to be. And I just don't think that it can happen. Plus, you know, they got a super max guy in Wall and a max guy in Bradley Beal. There's not much room. I mean, they got $16 million in Ian Mahimi, and then other guys are coming off. Mahimi's coming off this year. Miles is coming off this year. Bertrands is coming off this year. Isaiah Thomas. So they got some flexibility. They got cheap contracts in Justin Robinson, Hachimura, and Ish Smith will be off in 2 years at $6 million a year. So they're in good shape. They're just gonna stink this year, but they're in good shape. They got to figure out something to do with Wall, man. At 4 years and 171, that's killing them. Till 2023, man. That's killing them, man.
I would consider trading John Wall and Bradley Beal, but that's for another episode.
Yeah,
another episode.
Ooh, boy.
So next trade, we have the Indiana Pacers getting a 2021 second round pick and $1 million in cash for a 2019 second round pick, who is the 50th pick in the draft, Mr. Jarrell Brantley. I ain't never heard of no NBA player come out of the Charleston in my entire life.
College of Charleston?
Yes, I've never heard of no NBA player come out of the college. Now, I do respect this man. He did go to Montrose.
Yeah, there's been a couple dudes that came out of College of Charleston back in the 90s, I believe.
I respect him because he came out of
Montrose Christian.
You know, that's my place. You know, Rockville. But that's not one NBA player has come out of the school of College Charleston, and that is Anthony Johnson.
I remember Anthony Johnson. I'm thinking Anthony Carter. Who's Anthony Johnson?
No, Anthony Johnson, 6'3", point guard, played, bounced around 17s, played 14 years. He played in the finals in Orlando for 2 years.
I'm thinking Anthony Carter.
He did nothing big and super big in his. He played for Indiana for 3 years, if that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I mean, it's you know, they have a decent team. They go to the tournament they used to go a lot more, but they get there about once every 2 to 3 years now. And they'll make some noise sometime, and then they'll flutter out. They're a solid program down there.
Yeah, but I don't know. This trade doesn't hold any real significance to it.
I think they needed to get. I think they needed to, because they brought in Brogdon for Bogdanovich and stuff like that. So I think they needed to move off some money. And so they just sold the pick and they kicked the can down the road. And they got some extra money. So that $1 million is, you can't use it for cap, but you can use it for expenses.
Yeah, so
that's a good move.
Undersized, powerful, reminiscent of one Trevor Booker. 8.4 rebounds per game last year.
Not so bad.
He just can't shoot. shot 33% from three last year. Yeah, that's just, you know, it's not super significant. So we'll just right. Ride on. We'll go to probably one of the bigger trades, depending on who you ask. The Los Angeles Lakers got 46 pick in a draft, Talen Horton Tucker, for a 2020 unprotected LA pick and 2.23 million dollars in cash. All right, so
Talen Horton, is he the guy with the long arms from Iowa State?
Massive arms at 6'5", whatever he is, with 7'1" arms. Yes,
right, that's Talen Horton Tucker.
I swear, every time the Lakers pick a dude, they hype him up out of absolutely nowhere. Like, the thing is, I had never heard of this kid, right? I think most Lakers fans hadn't heard of who this was.
Talen Horton, all of a sudden, this Tucker?
Kid, yeah. Yeah, all of a sudden, this kid get drafted. They hyped him through the roof. All right, acting like, oh, my God, this kid's going to be a lockup, dude. And I'm like, did he really? I don't even think he played in summer league.
He did, and they said he has a stress fracture in his foot.
Yeah, so I was like, I don't know. Because, like, a 7'1" arms on a 6'4", 6'5" guard is incredible. But he's a little out of shape at 235 for 6'4". That's a little.
Well, they say that he's 18. Is he 18 years old?
Yeah, he 18 or 19. He's young, bro.
So was he a freshman? True freshman?
Yeah, I think he was a true freshman.
So, you know, he could just go down into the G League and just play basketball. You know what I mean?
I feel like he'll just end up being a type of two-way player, something not because of the last name, but I feel like he'll be reminiscent of a PJ Tucker.
He could go down and reinvent his game. if he's playing basketball full time as opposed to going to class, I think, you know, that might be something that they can pull out of him. I mean, 6'5 with 7+, you know, feet arms, man, that's gonna be some clay to work with.
Rondo, that's like bigger than Rondo having, like, he was like 6'1 with 6'9 arms. So that's right. Really like,
that's,
I can't think of anybody who was 6'4" with 7'1" arms. Did Dwayne Wade even have that?
I don't think so. I think that's really, 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 really uncommon. Really uncommon. So I think, you know, even though he's a bigger guy, I think he's going to be in good basketball shape eventually. And, you know, I really think that they got something to work with. I really do. I think that this is a good pick. What did they get? A 2020. Yeah. They don't need those picks because next year, I mean, presumably they're going to be in the second or third round of the playoffs. So a 2020 second rounder isn't going to do anything. Meanwhile, you got this piece of clay, you know, that you can work with for 3 years and see what happens.
Yeah.
So, I like it. I like it. So what's next?
So now we got Boston trading essentially the 24th pick in the draft, which they traded later on, and Carson Edwards to the to Boston, and Matisse Thybulle, the 20th pick, goes to Philly. Honestly, I saw Matisse Thybulle play, and I believe it was summer league.
Yeah,
I think I saw him, he just looks okay. He's a defending guy. He's nothing more than
his defense is top level though, man. Like, he was putting the clamps on dudes.
He is, but you know, I don't. He did go to Philly, so I assume he'll be they'll mold him into a 3-and-D dude like they usually do with like people like Robert Covington type player.
Yeah, I think that. He's not gonna get a lot of run with a championship type team that they got there now.
Yeah, he has a little less size than Robert Covington at 6'6", and Robert Covington's about, what, 6'8"?
Yeah, so, he's a big dude. He's big dudes.
So I would say he'll just be – now, Carson Edwards? Oh, my God. Yo, Carson Edwards was just – had all the kinds of confidence in summer league. He was pulling from way back. Like, Carson Edwards was catching it, crossing half court, and just pulling it. Because he felt like it.
He's talented. He's very, very talented. I think that he could play his way onto the backup point guard role this year. I really do. He's sort of like Kemba, similar in height, a little bit stronger, or at least wider and thicker. But I think he could get some minutes, man. I wouldn't be surprised to see him get 10 plus minutes, 10 to 12 minutes a night. And maybe start a few games if guys is hurt. You know, if Kemba goes down, I wouldn't be surprised to see him start a little bit.
Yeah, Carson, it'll be scary, though. He is a six-foot point guard. It's like, if you thought Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter in the pick and roll was a defensive nightmare, just wait till you see Carson Edwards and Enes Kanter together.
I mean, I think his thickness will help. His length obviously doesn't help. But I think his thickness may help when it comes to getting over and around screens. I mean, all these dudes are bad on defense when they come to the NBA, though. You know what I mean?
I mean, not all of them. Not every single one of them.
Most of them.
I assume Zion will be a decent defender.
Yeah, I think he – but on the point guard, most of your point guard. Like, even Kyle Lowry, when he came out, and he was schooled well at Villanova, and he still struggled, you know, to defend. But I think Carson Edwards could grow into a Kyle Lowry. They got similar frames. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like I said, I think physically he's 21, 22 years old. I think he can hold up physically. He's been the man for a couple of years in Purdue. So I think he can adjust to making big shots or taking big shots. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the playoffs do a nice little job and being a backup point guard. I would not be surprised.
I can see him evolving into a Terry Rozier type.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where he just kind of is just there. He make the shot. They make some shots every now and then.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. He's got the range. He's got the heart. He played his butt off in Purdue, especially in the final
tournament.
Oh, man. He was giving it everything. Everything. It's just sometimes he's real streaky, man. That's his only issue. But, you know, I like him, man. I think it's a good pick. Thibode would have not gotten any run with Jaylen Brown and Tatum and all. He's just not a good fit there.
He won't get any in Philly, though, either.
He might just, you know, be a up and down. He might be G League, you know, go down there, get some experience. Maybe in 2 years, you know, he might come back with a little something. So. Then next up is my Pistons. We going to work. I think this was a good trade for both teams. I think the fact that John Luer was coming off, he's a little bit cheaper than Tony Snell. Tony Snell is a decent player. I just think that he got buried in that lineup. I mean, he had been playing well before, and for whatever reason, he just didn't come through this year. But I like the pickup of John Luer. They in the 30th pick, they came off of some money because they needed to sign Chris Middleton. They needed to do everything that they could to get Middleton.
Because they lost Brogdon already as it is. And so they couldn't lose Middleton, too.
Right, right. So
I really think they made a good – I mean, like, $10 million for another $10 million isn't, like, super significant.
Right.
But I don't – let's see. Is John Luer's contract guaranteed? Let's see.
So it looks like it was guaranteed. It looks like they waived him. He was due 2000 this year, 20 and 21. So the Pistons got off of him. They stretched him. So it looks like they stretched him for three.
Oh, yes.
I think
So they got $3 million for 3 years. Yeah.
So what they basically did to get Middleton under the cap is they needed a lesser salary than Tony Snell. And because what is it, Snell makes, what is it? I think you had it up there. Oh, they don't. Oh, yeah. So Snell made 10.8 and John made 10. So stretching him at 3+ versus, you know, my man, that's a big difference in stretching. Big difference.
Yeah.
He gets stretched for 3.1. 3.169 is his kit for this year. So with that money, they could move him so they could get what's his name under the cap, which they did at 5 years and 177.
Yeah, so, you know, I think that was a pretty good deal for Milwaukee. Detroit, they need a wing, obviously. They don't have any.
Yeah, they got a starting wing out of it. I thought they did a good job. I think Tony Snell is a
I wouldn't know player. If Tony Snell's starting wing. He might. I think he's just a good player, a good role player. I don't know if he's a starting.
I think he's a starting small forward in the NBA. Like, I think he's a slight upgrade from Stanley Johnson, but nothing more than. I mean, he makes shots. He's shot 40% from three, but he doesn't really give you much on the glass. He doesn't really give you much in any other facet of the game other than really shooting and just being kind of a tall guy.
And being pretty decent at defense.
Yeah, I mean, he uses his arm. I mean, he's a decent player. I think he's just, you know, just an NBA. He's an NBA player who can shoot. I think that's his NBA skill. So his ability to shoot, his ability to be kind of in the way when it comes to playing defense, I think that's his value. And they didn't have, after they let Stanley go and they got Thon Maker, the Pistons didn't have a starting small forward. And so, you know, that's what they got out of this deal. I think it's a good deal. They got the first round pick, which they kind of played around with, as we'll see later. They moved off of the money that would come with that first round pick that would have been Kevin Porter. And so they moved down. So I think for both teams, I think it was a great deal for both teams.
So next we got the Brooklyn Nets getting a 2020 first round pick and a second round pick, 56 pick, Jalen Hands from UCLA. I remember him. He was a McDonald's American.
Right.
And the LA Clippers acquired 27th pick out of Florida State, Mifiondu Cabanyeli.
I think he's a good player. I like Cabanyeli. I think he's a hard worker. I think we watched him in the tournament a couple times.
Yeah, we watched Cabanyeli. He's a pretty – he's Mutombo's cousin. He's the right. Really – he's like a really big, strong – he plays a lot of aggression. I think he's a pretty good player. I think he's a little small to play center or power forward or whatever. He'll play in the NBA.
Right.
But he's a very big, thick guy. NBADraft.net has him as a Vin Baker. I don't know if that's actually accurate, considering Vin Baker was a really, yeah. really good post player. But he's a very good defensive player. He plays a little like Mutombo.
He got a lot of energy, though.
A little bit like Mutombo. He plays a little like Mutombo.
Yeah. He does. He's just about 6'9". But long arms, a lot of energy. I don't know if I would have been trading. I don't think I would have traded the picks that I did for him. I mean, I don't see him as
picking up a first round pick is pretty significant.
First round pick.
And a second for Cabanyeli is like, unless he, it'll only be worth it if he turns out to be a very good player. But I feel like in the future, I feel like he'll fulfill the role of Montrezl Harrell, kind of, for the Clippers.
I think so. I think he'll
end up being.
I think he had knee issues as well, but I'm not sure. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think he'll be a rotational guy. This year he'll get under 10 minutes a game. And maybe in his prime, he's a solid guy, Alton Lister type. I think he'll be a rotational guy. Mark West, you know, one of them dudes that starts and he ain't killing you and he ain't really helping you. He just, you know, he just takes up minutes. So the next one is Bazemore for Turner. I think that trade was made because they didn't know if somebody was going to sign or something in Portland. I can't quite remember what it was.
I believe it's just a cap. I think it's just a salary for salary deal. Or I see that the trade went through the night of the draft or the night after the draft. So I assume that because of Nasir Little coming, that they were just like, we don't need Evan Turner to be our small forward anymore.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of bring in Nasir Little to do his thing. and we'll see how that goes.
Right.
I believe that's what happened because I don't know. It just kind of seems like a salary for salary thing.
It was a reason why they did it, though. I couldn't quite remember what it was, but it's a reason why they did it.
I also feel like, hold on. Who did they not get? Did they not get somebody back? Oh, I think what's his name left, didn't he? Did they get Rodney Hood back?
Yeah, they got Rodney Hood back at 2 years and 11.7.
Yes, did I get Rodney Hood back?
Yeah, they got Rodney Hood back at 2 years and 11.7.
Yes, that's what it was. It was an insurance for Rodney Hood.
Yeah, they got Damian Lillard.
It has to do a little bit with Nasir Little, but I think it's also an insurance plan on Rodney Hood.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. That's what came back to me now. It was Rodney Hood. They didn't know. So they traded for Bazemore to fill Rodney Hood's role.
In case he left, because they couldn't pay him the mid-level,
and the salaries on this team are outrageous. They got Dam this year at 27.97, and then he signed the Supermax at 39.2, which will start next year. McCollum at 26.6, Hassan Whiteside at 24.6, Bazemore at 17.5, and Nurkic at 12. I mean,
according to my numbers here, Portland has the highest cap in the league, not the highest amount of cap, but they have the least amount of cap space there.
Yeah,
negative $10.8 million or so into the luxury tax.
Yeah, they're hard cap. They got Scal Labissiere, Nasir Little, Gary Trent.
They have Dame, they have McCollum, they have Nurkic new contract, and they have Whiteside.
Yeah.
There's nowhere they're going.
I mean, it's a championship team, though. They got Hazonga.
With the Bazemore contract?
Yeah. I think that's their starting lineup. I think that's what it is. And they're just going to go with it. They're going to play them dudes into the ground. I mean, their bench is Labissiere, Anthony Simmons, Gary Trent. They got Hazonga and AT, Anthony Tolliver. He'll get some run. He's a good player. But, man, they going to play them dudes upwards of 33, 34 minutes a night. And they just going to let the chips fall. they are capped.
Yeah, it's not looking good for them.
So what's the next trade there?
We've got the Dallas Mavericks getting Isaiah Roby and in a 2020 second round pick from Utah and a 2021 second round pick from Portland for Mr. Diva Das.
Diva Das. I watched him a little bit over the summer. He can shoot. That's about it. He got a long way to go, man. Like,
that's all he's got is that he can shoot.
He can shoot, man. I mean, if he open, he knocking him down. Kyle Singler. No, I think he's more like a Kyle Korver, but he don't have a defense. He don't have a defense that Korver's. You know, he was where he was supposed to be. So, yeah, he got a long way to go. He's gonna play on the Grand Rapids Drive. So, we'll see.
Really? I wasn't gonna come over.
He wants to come over, so they're gonna put him on the drive, and they gonna see how the chips fall with that dude too, man. When, he got to get his body together. He got it's you're not looking at anything from that guy till 22, 23, somewhere around in there. You might look for some contribution, but he got a long way to go.
He really does. So, next we have the Cleveland Cavaliers getting Kevin Porter Jr. and the Detroit Pistons getting $5 million in cash, a 2020 second round pick from Utah, a 2021 second round pick from Portland, a 2023 second round pick from Portland as well, and a 2024 second round pick from Miami, which is top 55 protected. Pistons got four picks out of this, so I'm not mad at, except the, well, I don't know. Third, the fourth pick is kind of more of like an empty pick, but the Kevin Porter deal.
Move off of the money. They're real close to the luxury tax, And that 1.29 that they paid, you could have used that to get Markieff Morris, which I think they did.
So yeah, that's
they basically used that for a veteran. I think he signed the biannual at 2.8 or something.
Yeah, he did.
And if they signed, that's why.
Yeah, so I don't know. Pistons got 10. I would call it 3 picks because that last pick is kind of what I like to call an empty pick.
And they got Markieff Morris for 2 years.
And they got $5 million in cash. So I feel like that was a good trade for them in the end.
Yeah.
The next trade we have is the Phoenix Suns getting $1.1 million. Miami acquiring KZ Akpala from Stanford. Mm-hmm. And
he's a good player.
Indiana getting TJ Warren, a 2022 second-round pick, a 2025 second-round pick, and a 2026 second-round pick. I'm not quite sure whose pick that is, but TJ Warren, great player. Really fits because Indiana has to do a lot of damage control after the sudden retirement of Darren Collison
and
of Tyreek Evans.
Bogdanović
leaving. So they had a lot of like damage control to do.
Yeah.
They had a lot of players that they had to just redo the whole team.
Right.
I don't blame the Pacers for this deal. Who I do blame is the Suns only getting $1.1 million out of this for TJ Warren.
That's
a starting small forward for I'd say about probably
over
about
half the 20. Teams.
I'd say about 20 out of 30 NBA teams TJ Warren could start at.
Yeah, I think so.
And so the fact that they traded him for $1.1 million and that's it. They didn't get anything back. They essentially, we'll talk about this later, because they did get another draft pick later on in the draft, but essentially they traded TJ Warren for some cash, which was not worth it whatsoever. They didn't even get a pick back for the future. I feel like this is terrible. Phoenix, as usual, don't expect much from Phoenix. Miami, KZ Akpala, again, you know, doesn't mean much at the time. It might mean something later with how Miami develops their players. They usually turn into decent players, as we've seen from player Josh Richardson.
He'll
be a pretty good player one day. I won't know yet, so I can't grade how good that trade is. But I do know that this is a great trade for Indiana and a horrible, actually not even horrible, it's just a Phoenix trade at this point.
I mean, Indiana is really – got a nice young squad. Oladipo and Brogdon. That's really nice. Miles Turner, TJ Warren, and Jeremy Lamb as your starting five. That's good.
That's
really, really, really a young core. I really like what they're doing. They got Sabonis and Goga Bedice.
Dizots or whatever it is.
Then you got the Holiday brothers on the team.
Yeah, you got gotten the new Justin Holiday.
Yeah, and then they got Brian Bowen, who I think, you know, goes two-way or goes down to the G League. I like their starting eight. I think it's and they got TJ McConnell, who's also a good solid player. I think they stole TJ Warren. Him and Jeremy Lamb can go back and forth between the three and the four. They're good, man. They got a nice team. McDermott as well. They got a good team. I'm happy with. They're gonna be tough for my Pistons to deal with because they got makings of a Eastern Conference run in like 2 years, I think, in them.
Yeah. So, as we go to the next trade, we've got the sign and trade for Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker was traded to the Boston Celtics. In a 2020 second round pick. It could be either a New York or an Orlando pick. It's a pick swap. And Charlotte got a protected 2020 second round pick and Terry Rozier. That's highly questionable. Like, first of all, Michael Jordan did a very Michael Jordan move when he had the option to trade Kemba Walker 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was getting big offers from teams. The Wizards, the Cavs, the Pistons, the Clippers, the Lakers, everybody was giving up a little. Even New York was giving up a lot for Kemba Walker. Yeah. They knew, they had a sense that he would leave, but he was like, oh, no, I'll stay, you know? So, right. They just assumed he would come back, right? And so they were like, okay, we're going to offer you a little less than the max, because that's what he said in the interview. So they were like, oh, okay.
Right.
But it's like, he's like, I would look at coming back to save salary. But the thing is, they offered him way less than what was a regular max.
Like $60 million less.
Yes. And so that's like, you're basically asking for the guy not to come back. And he just goes to Boston, go gets his max, where he can go from being in a crappy Charlotte situation. Well, I wouldn't call it crappy, but I'd say it's just a regular outside. It's a 9-8 seed type team.
Right.
Where he can go automatically into a top five team in the East.
The problem
and get his max.
The only problem with the Celtics, though, is by letting Aaron Baines go, they don't have a center.
They do now.
Who?
They have Cantor.
Yeah, but there's, and I guess Theus will be his backup, I guess. I mean,
I don't know what Boston's going to do, what their plan is for the future. But I'd say this is a good deal for Boston. I'd say this is a decent deal for Boston. Because, again, Kemba Walker's not better than Kyrie Irving. He's just not. Even with chemistry issues, I don't think he'll be better than Kyrie Irving. He's a lot less injury-prone than Kyrie Irving.
Well, Kyrie is a fabulous player, but, you know, he doesn't win. He can't be the number one guy and win. He can be your number two. And I think that Kemba is – they're not going to win with Kemba. Because Kemba, I think he's going to make it tough. You know, you look at their lineup, man, it's only one ball. You know, Tatum and Brown, they trying to get paid, man. This first contract, you need to put numbers up, man. And if you're not getting a rock, how you going to get that $30 million? You know what I mean? So, you know, Marcus Smart is what he is. Gordon Hayward's trying to prove that he deserves the money he got. Langford gonna be out there trying to shoot everybody. Everybody's gonna be trying to shoot. And you know, Kemba got to get his 20 plus shots a night. So
yeah,
FGA is gonna be hard to come by for these boys.
Man,
you know.
So you know, in the end, I think it's pretty decent for Boston. I'm not gonna say it's great. I like Kemba Walker. I just don't think he's as solid as Kyrie is on defense. Not saying that Kyrie is like an amazing defensive player himself. I'm just saying he's solid, knows where he to be. Kemba's a little small. They said pick and roll, set picks on him. He just kind of get stuck on them joints. Like he ain't going nowhere.
Yes, he gets stuck. We went to a couple games.
And the fact that Enes Kanter's got to be the big in that situation just probably makes it worse.
Yeah.
Charlotte, Terry Rozier, we don't even need to discuss this. This is like a I'm trying to think, what is a downgrade as bad as this? This is like if the Washington Wizards lost Bradley Beal and got back Jeremy Lamb. Like, that's the equivalent.
Yeah.
Equivalent to losing Bradley Beal and getting Jeremy Lamb back. That's, like, not what you want.
Right. Not a bad player.
Absolutely. That's not a bad player. It's just you lost an all-star.
Right, right.
All-NBA-type player for nothing.
Yeah.
Or lost him for Jeremy Lamb. That's, Terry Rozier, I saw him in the Celtics. They guarded him. They geared up for him every night. He played absolutely terrible. His shooting was super streaky because they saw him last year and they're like, oh, you think you can just get out here, take 10 shots and just be killing us?
Right.
Watch next year. We'll be guarding you. And he went out there and he shot 38% from the field, which down from the 39 he shot last year. He shot 38% from three last year. He shot 35 this year. His shots went down because of Kyrie coming back, which caused all kinds of chemistry issues. So I won't completely say he's bad, but he did shoot 10 shots a game last year, and he did shoot 5 threes, or not. Yeah, he shot 5 threes, and he shot 4.2 of the, or 4.3 this year, and 8.4 shots total, averaging about 9 points a game.
Right.
So his minutes decreased by about 3. So I, in the end, I would say Terry Rozier, he's gonna get all the shots. Him and Malik Monk, they're taking it all. Both of them are taking 20 shots. Him
oh,
and Malik
man. Oh, boy.
Miles Bridges Woo. Might get a few, but it's going to be Malik Monk and Terry Rozier taking every single shot. I don't know if Malik Monk's going to like that. He might love it.
I mean, he's going to love Booker. It. You get, you
he's going to be a Devin. He can be like Devin Booker, but, you know, hopefully that works out for the
Charlotte.
I can't even say hopefully, because like it probably more than likely won't. Yeah, Charlotte, as we've seen, they've been a bad organization from day one.
Yeah.
They haven't changed in the 15 years they've been in the NBA. They were a bad franchise when they came in. They're a bad franchise now. They don't pick good. Their drafting is absolutely terrible. They don't have a big enough market to sign great players. The greatest signing they probably have had is Al Jefferson. Which is a good player, a great player, but it's not like a tremendous signing. So it's not like this Charlotte's gonna pull somebody away from like a Detroit, because it's like, again, how enticed are you by Charlotte if you live in Detroit already?
Right.
In the end, I think it's a pretty decent deal for Boston. We'll see how that defense goes. Because their chemistry is already being messed up with everybody thinking that they're the man. People don't know who's – the problem they suffer from is everybody thinks they're the man when everybody can't be the man. Campbell right. cannot be taking 20 shots while Hayward takes 20 shots, while Tatum takes 20 shots, while right. Jaylen Brown tries to take 15. That just won't work.
Right. It's not going to work.
That's 75 shots from 4 players.
Right.
That's not going to work.
Exactly.
So – everybody can't be taking every single shot. So in the end, I feel like this might work out for Boston. Who knows? Charlotte, it's more than likely not going to work out. But yeah, so next episode, we will go over a few more of the trades that happened. Some on draft night, some not. But yeah, that's that for this episode of Heard It Here First.
All right.
We'll be back next time to discuss some bigger trades.
All right, you heard it here first. Peace.